don't realize that they're actually hearing God when they do that. But they really are, because guys, it's all about community. It really is. I'm so proud of you when I see you having family, being together. It was big. Last week, Tina Maitland was able to share a little bit, and it was a huge thing, I believe. I wanted her to share. And this week, I'm going to pick on Jessica Warren. I'm not going to make her, like, share. I'm going to talk about her, so hopefully I get it right. But it's a big thing. You know, Kelly couldn't help but be emotional when she talked about, yeah, don't think about a mom who raised two boys by herself, came out of the worst ghetto in North Little Rock, and her boy, Chico, went to federal prison. He was a drug dealer for too long. And, you know, it's like a hard time. And then her boys give their life to Jesus, Chico and his little brother, and the first thing they do is go to Mexico, and they've been there for 20. Oh, hi, Tina, you are here. I was looking for you by Gary. I didn't know that. Gary, did you bathe today? I don't know. It's like, I don't know. He's all by himself. He's my brother-in-law. I can do that to him. Sorry. But isn't it amazing? Chico found Jesus and just on fire for Jesus and did these crazy things. And when I first met him, he was rough. We'd let him talk here at church once in a while. We were up on the hill in those days. And I'd be like, Chico, you just can't yell at people and tell us how bad we are that because we're not all going to Mexico tomorrow. Like, some of us support you. Well, Randy Boyd taught us that he's Harvey's son. He does one of our missionaries we support, Prepare International. And Randy taught us the very beginning. He said, listen, you either go, we're all called to missions. You either go or you pray for someone, you pray for them, or you support them financially. And all three are equally important. And so thank you, Grace, for 20-something years. Chico's been one of the missionaries we've given cash to every. I have something I'll show y'all. It's a cookie. Do y'all carry cookies in your pockets? Listen, I'll teach y'all that secret. If you leave it on there too long, though, it stains because they have grease in them, right? So don't do that. Experience is valuable. I want to talk about something today. Camille, my granddaughter, drew me this picture, and I can see the date, October the 17th, 2021. That wasn't that long ago, 3 years ago almost. And it's a big picture for me. If any of you ever talk to me much and you're in my office, I have this under my glass on top of my desk, the paper copy of it. And listen, here's how I see the world. We just sang about him a lot, and we sang correctly. Compared to God, so God is like the best grandpa in the history of the world, and all of you guys are like two-year-olds. And that's the truth. He's the creator. He sustains all things with a thought. His breath is why we live. He created everything, the universe, the cosmos, everything. And he loves you more than me. He loves us more than we could ever know. And he had this purpose. He had this destiny. He had this thought before creation happened that he wanted to have you and me. And he wanted to be one with us. He wanted connection with us. Out of all of everything in creation, God chose to live his life and to live inside of you, inside of our skin. And Jesus tells us that. And this is before you were ever created, you were in his mind. Your personality, your body, your family, your history. You know what's cool? You know what we all like to do? It's so funny. I'm trying to learn how to communicate better. You know, there's one thing about talking, which is what you do and you teach. And there's another thing about actually communicating where you're actually doing this, like, you know. And one of the things, you know what all humans like to do? We like to tell our stories. We do. We like to tell history. If you hang around Harvey more than 30 seconds, you're going to hear 80 years of history with Jesus Christ. And he'll tell you every story. I've heard them over and over and over. No, I'm kidding. But it's true. When you know his story, when you know where he came from, when you know the journey of his life, all of a sudden you look at him different. I remember when I got to read Marceline, she wrote a memoir of her growing up years outside of Des Arc in the cotton fields, and I got to read it. And I got to read about her marriage, and she stole her best friend's boyfriend, and I might have messed that up, Marceline, excuse me. That's the way I remember it. That's what happened. It's like, it's, you know, Des Arc was a tiny town, so there wasn't like five guys to pick from. And she took her best friends, and she married him. And then when she had this little one-room house, and she had a cook stove, right, wooden cook stove with a metal pipe that went through the roof, and there was a hole in the roof big enough so it wouldn't burn the roof down, but so it was open. She didn't have air conditioning. She raised her food. You didn't go to school when the creeks were up because you couldn't get there. And when the crops failed, things were tough. And so she writes her history, and all of a sudden I'm like, Marceline, you are amazing, but you really are amazing now when you know her backstory. And guys, one of the reasons that God's creating Family Night is for us to get to know each other. We found out that the worst thing in the world to happen is when we get divided. We get divided. COVID put that on steroids, right? Our political climate put that on steroids. Well, I hate you because you got a Trump sign up in your yard. Well, I hate you, neighbor, because you got a Biden sign up in yours. And we hate each other. It's like we live in the same street. We're neighbors. We should be sharing our gardens together. Our kids go to the same school. We both have jobs. You know how much my political aspirations and deal, how much that really has to do with my life? You know what really matters in my life? I need you guys. And what would the devil want to do? He'd want to separate us. Those of you that have been able to be married for a while, it is a huge thing that you're still together because we need each other. And the truth is, I need God, right? We all don't mind saying this. I need Jesus. Right? Daniel said a little bit, my dad's been in the hospital all week, and I know a lot of y'all pray for him, and he was here just a few weeks ago, but he's physically on the way up, mentally there's still a lot of mess. Both my sisters are there today, right, Gary? So, and I'm here, and they're there with him, and I believe he'll get out of the hospital today, I hope. But so it's been a long week. I pull night duty because they think I can handle no sleep better than they can. I was like, listen, I'm getting grouchy. Be careful around me today. Don't comment. I'm kidding. I noticed I was getting grouchy, so I said, Jesus, I need help. Because I want to be loving to the people serving my dad. All the nurses' aides and the nurses and the cooks. A hospital takes a huge, huge, you know. I got to meet a respiratory therapist. That was his respiratory therapist. We spent 2 hours together one night, and she's a great person. I think she's going to come and visit you guys. She wants to get to know y'all. I was bragging on you, and she said, is there really a people like that? I'm like, yeah, a bunch of broken people. That's what we are. We like each other. You mean you all like each other? Well, no, we're too close to actually. We love each other. We don't always like each other. And I said, yeah, this is a place where you can come and you can have family. Because you know what? The truth is, I need Jesus. This week, a lot of us are going through, it's funny because of our ages, where a lot of us are going through parent in trouble issues. You know, just the process, right? It's a journey. Just like with a baby. When you have a baby, it's a part of your journey. It's who you are. It's who makes you who you are. And so we go through that. But you know what? The thing is, I need Jesus. And when I look at this picture, I know this is what I think. Jesus, I'm a 2-year-old, and as long as I reach up and grab your hand, you got me. Just like there, how many grandpas are in here? Raise your hand if you're a grandfather. You see, we're special. That is amazing. There's a lot of grandpas. You know what the truth is? Guys, every one of you, if you're holding a 2-year-old grandchild's hand, and you're walking down the street, who's responsible for that kid? Who's going to plan ahead for that child's safety? Who's going to feed them? Who's going to make sure they don't walk in front of a bus? You know who does? You do. That's God's plan. That's who we are. And you know how much more, if me holding God's hand, is God going to take care of me? He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Jesus has gone through everything you and I have ever gone through. You know, when it said, we sang that song earlier, and he went in the tomb and he was alone. Do you know Jesus Christ, the God part, the deity of Jesus wasn't alone, because he and the Father and the Holy Spirit are one. But the humanity of Jesus, he was fully man. He faced every trial, every temptation we ever face. Yeah, Jesus the man, he died alone. And God did that because he loves us. He knows you. Well, you know what? You and I don't ever have to be alone because of what he did. So today I want to talk about, you do need Jesus. But you know why we're doing family night? Because I believe this is true too. This is even more true. Do you know that we need each other? I was thinking this through this week, you know, and it's like, I don't want this to be, we all go through stuff, but it's the same thing. But when I'm going through something and it's hard, I actually thought of this. 42 years, I've never not been able to preach on a Sunday. That's a pretty long work, go to work time, right? But this week, I was thinking, you know, I can't get my head to prepare a sermon to share with you guys what I think Jesus wants to share. And so I really thought about it. Last night, when every 3 minutes, Dad was, he's got that night thing. Somebody told me what it's called, and I forgot already. Sundowners. Yeah, that's it. Chris knows I'm hard of hearing. You're the only one I heard. A.B., I'm sorry. Right? He's got that sundowners. It's just, you know, it's enhanced. So last night, my mom's been gone 10 years. Last night, I'm with him, and every 45 seconds, Alan, like, yeah, I need this, I need that, I need this, I want to do this. Where's mom? Why can't I go see your mom? I want to see Wendy. That's my mom's, was Wendy. And give me your cell phone. I know you have one. Dad, we can't call mom. Well, I want to talk to her. We can't call her. And he's mad at me because he can't talk to my mother who passed away 10 years ago. I'm like, okay, Dad. You know, those kind of things make it hard to focus your mind. But we all go through life, and a lot of us are going through those stages, whether it's a brand new baby, whether it's a marriage that's on the rocks, whether it's a history that you've pulled yourself out of a ditch. We all go through things, and Jesus is always there. He's the one I turn to. And then Jesus said, you know what? You need me, but you also need you. I need you guys. Well, we're not best friends. I need you. I needed to see you this morning. I needed to hear your voice. I needed, early this morning, we were laughing at some of the funny things we go through with the stages of life, you know. I need to laugh. You see, God created this for a specific way. And this morning, I just wanted to spend a minute looking at some scripture. And y'all know this is true because we do need Jesus. Jesus said this. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, said, I am the bread of life. Yeah. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Now that caused him a big problem when he was real popular. Because the people said, what do you mean? He goes on after that, and he says, eat my flesh, drink my blood. And they're offended, and they're like, Jesus, what do you mean by that? And we, in a spiritual realm, we understand that now. Jesus actually becomes the very life energy that he becomes me. I'm not just me anymore. I'm me with him. When I'm walking, when I'm hurting, when I'm succeeding, whatever I'm doing, it's me and him. It's like, that's why I brought this. This is a cookie. It's really good. I've eaten several this week. I ate them for lunch and supper, two or three days this week. But you know what's interesting? Do I look like this? Did I become a cookie? No. The cookie became part of my body. You see, when you reach out and grab His hand, when you need Jesus, actually Jesus comes and becomes part of you. And you're not alone anymore. It's not just your strength. You have the strength of the Lord with you. Now, Jesus, it's funny, because I love life. I love watching children grow up and just life in general. And I'm like, you know, it's interesting. When you're watching sports, you're building towards something. When you're getting married, you ever, you know, like Shelby does that stuff, wedding pictures, you know. And like nowadays, when I was getting married, we just got married and got it over with. Quick as possible, simple as possible. Not true anymore, right? Have y'all noticed that weddings are a big deal? And you start out with, I should have asked somebody to give me the list. You start out with a list of things you got to do, and they have this thing to do, and they have to shop the dress, you know, and the and you got, I should ask Shelby, she actually showed you her website. You go to her website, you can see all this stuff. And it's like, but you know what's happening? All of that is building. Like when you're in a career, you start as a journeyman, you start as a buck private. I met a man this week who's went in the Army as just what's the lowest PFSA you can be, and he just retired. He's lieutenant colonel now. But it took a lifetime. But you know what happens if you're a football coach? You start out at a small place, a small school, and you take a team, and you win, and you win, and you win, and all of a sudden this very unknown person becomes this very big celebrity. Or you start in business, and you have one business, and all of a sudden, you know, all these things happen. That's the natural thing that happens to us. And so weddings like that, you have these little things. Well, Jesus, you think about it, He started in heaven with a dream to come to earth and to die for us so that He could live inside of you, in your skin, that you could have community with Him, union with Him. God, not just Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all live inside of this body. That was Jesus' dream. Now, so He gets born. He had to become a man. And He gets born. And it was predicted. It was prophesied over and over again. It's unbelievable, the buildup for His birth, right? Now, of course, the Jews misunderstood it. They thought He was going to become another Roman emperor. They thought they were going to rule the world and He was going to be Genghis Khan on steroids or something. But Jesus said, no, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. I came to be one with my children. I came to be the sacrificial lamb who would die for you. So they didn't get it. So Jesus, He lives 30 years in His home, right? He's a bastard child, and everybody knows it. And then at 30 years old, He gets baptized in the Jordan by His cousin John, who was insane. You know, the guy who went around the desert and lived in animal skins and ate locusts and honey. Well, then Jesus' popularity, He went from a zero, and He just started impacting the world. The most influential man in the history of the world was Jesus Christ, who was born in a little tiny village in the middle of nowhere. He lived there. He wasn't born there. He lived there at a dead-end road, and His dad was a carpenter, and He was the oldest son of an unwed woman, and that was His life. For 30 years, He worked. His dad died. Y'all know this. Y'all know the story. And then when He got baptized by John, all of a sudden He became the most popular person around. And He started praying for people. At 30 years old, he started this ministry, and thousands of people. He was what everyone, Jerusalem's had like a million people in it or something. Everyone in town knew who He was. And you know, like most popularity, He was extremely popular. He was also extremely hated, wasn't He? But it's growing. His ministry's growing. It's growing. He's becoming like the superstar. And then this happened. And this is at the end of His life, Luke chapter 22. Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus is at the height of his popularity, and he's also at the height of the hatred. The Pharisees and Sadducees and the government people wanted him dead because he was ruining their programs. And the day came. That day came. You know, every one of us have a day like that. Many days like that. Like there was a day when I picked the dress. Is that how y'all say that?
Say yes to the dress.
Oh, say yes to the dress. What a great way to say it, huh? And it's like this huge event in the wedding stuff. Well, it's not the wedding. What's the big deal? It's a dress. It's, you know, I'm not wearing a dress. I'm wearing clothes. I don't get it. But it is a big deal because there was a day when Jesus drew us. There was a day when you said yes to that inner voice that you were hearing from somebody you can't see. There was a day when you said, you know what? I need him. And Jesus was living his life. And it was a part of his journey. There was a day of unleavened bread. And then Jesus sent Peter and John saying, go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover. You see, with Jesus, it's always been about us. He knew something that we don't know. We need each other. When I wrote that down on the picture Camille drew, I meant he needs you. He needs you. We need each other. I mean, but he needs us. And that's what he said. He said, make preparations for us. We've got to eat the Passover. You know what I see here? When I see this, the main thing I see is, I know it's all prophetic and there's a ton of, you can spend a lifetime studying this probably, but what I see is a man who knew he was going to have the hardest 2 days of his life. He knew he was going to be arrested, tortured, crucified, and locked up in a tomb. He knew that. And he knew he needed his buddies. You see, we need each other. The world tells you you can make it without the family and without the body of Christ. You can't. You may live, but you won't live well. You need each other. So when I was thinking about today, I could have easily stayed home and spent more time in the hospital. That'd be great, right? I'm getting sort of used to it. I know most of the people there now, and they're nice people. Coffee is really bad. You might tell people they could have better coffee. But other than that, it's pretty good. So Jesus said he needs you. You see, community, I know Dana and Missy may put this up here. They're like, what are you doing? Well, you know what Tina told us? What you told us last week, you need a community. And I don't know why you chose this group. You know, when I wanted to make Jessica talk to, because you know what Jessica does? You know you can tell who somebody is by what they do. You really can. And you can pick it up. Like, you know what Jessica does? She goes out and talks. I don't know why she likes people. You're so blessed. You're so blessed, Jessica. She knows more people than I could ever dream of knowing. And she goes out and she finds people, and she found life in this community. For how many years, Jessica? I don't even know. It's been a while. She was a little younger then. But she's found life here. So you know what you do, Jessica, over and over and over? If you care about somebody, you go share the life you found with them. And so over and over, Jessica brings people with her to meet you guys. And it's like, y'all don't even know you're special. You think you're like me. Like, I'm a little grouchy today. Yeah, it's not a good day to mess with me. But maybe it is because I came here now and I feel better. Well, your dad's out of the hospital? No. No. Is he going to become 60 years old again? No. But there's good days coming. you know. And I want us to know it's really about the community. So Jesus, on the hardest time of his life, and you know what's interesting? When things should have been blooming in his life, like he should have had the biggest crowds and winning. But look at what really happened. Everybody left him. All of a sudden, those people who wanted to put him on the throne wanted to put him in the grave. And Jesus knew where his life came from. He said, guys, I know you're all going to deny me. He knew that. He told them, y'all are going to deny me. And they all swore they weren't, but they did. He knew that he still needed his friends. We need each other. We always do. And then he told the guys, he said, Peter and John, he said, where do you want us to go prepare for it? You see, because if you want to bring life to somebody, you're you. You're they. You're the one. We all have a part to play. Peter and John, they had a part to play. And Jesus said, he said, hey, as you enter the city, you see, whenever we're living, it's about moving. And Wednesday nights, it's going to be about you guys coming and loving the people who come. Being yourself, loving them, talking to them. We're going to learn how to have real communication with each other. And I tell you, the world is tired of getting talked to. I'm so sick of the talking heads on social media that act like they know everything. And they're just talking and talking and talking and talking. And I'm like, well, let's be friends. You know, the truth is, you don't grow without personal contact. You don't. They've proven it. They've done experiments over and over. Children do not learn without someone that loves them and cares about them in putting into their lives. They've tried to do it without that, and it creates horrible mental health, and it's impossible to learn. What in real jobs, you become an intern, you become a journeyman. I mean, if you're in a real important job, if you're in a real, like those, you know, like every, it seems like everyone at the hospital, all those doctors are like 20 years old or something, and they're all residents. That's what they call them, right? It's because if you're going to let somebody make decisions about your heart working, you want them to be experienced. And so they have to rub shoulders for years with somebody who's going to, but well, they learned everything in the books. You don't learn everything in books. Not even in the Bible. You don't. You need us. We need you. And guys, Wednesday night's all about that. And so we begin. You know what Wednesday night is? We're going to enter the city. We're going to go for it. Ask us detailed questions about what it's going to look like. I think Prayground, the thing we're going to do with the children, is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And I've seen evidence of it. I've seen it work for years. And I'm excited about being a part of that. Well, I don't really know how to do it yet. I'll be better at it in a year. Wednesday night, it may be sort of funny. And our groups, our adults, you guys are going to break up, and y'all are going to have deep conversations. We're going to do Bible studies, and it'll be great. Well, I don't know if it'll really be great the first time, you know what? I'll do this. Anybody in here need a haircut? I'll cut your hair for you. I've never done that before, but I'll give it a shot, and it won't be pretty. I guarantee you, I could do Chris's hair. You'd be bleeding like a stuck hog, probably, but I'll try. Yeah, you know, so we're going to go for it, but we got to enter the city. Peter and John, you got to go in. And when you go in, he told them. He said, you're going to see a man. And you know what? Who the man was? He was a Gentile, a slave in the Jewish community, carrying, he was doing his job, carrying a jar of water. Listen, don't sell yourself short because you're not a priest in the church. The first guy that they met that brought them to the place where they were going, where God was leading them, was a Gentile who wasn't even a Jew. And they weren't even supposed to talk to Gentiles. And Jesus said, you guys talk to him and follow him to the house. You see, for us, Wednesday night, and it's going to change in the future, but it's about a house, it's about a family, it's about a community, it's about home. We need family. And that's what Wednesday night's about. And it's different than what we've done in the past. But you're going to have to get up and move if you want to go somewhere. And so we're inviting everyone to come. Now, then going down there, and it says, say to the owner of the house. You know, it's interesting. We spend our whole lives learning how to work hard and pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and, you know. And then Jesus says, let me do this. They didn't even own the house they were going to have the meal in. You know what? Everything you get from your grandfather, he gives to you. Now, he may be teaching you to work by letting you earn it, but the truth is he's giving it to you. I don't see Jacob and, well, there's Camille. I paid you a little bit, didn't I? I try to pay her and Jacob some. I lose money every time I get them to do something. I never paid you. I don't think I really paid her much. I just used her. I mean, I taught her things. But Jacob, I paid him a little bit. And every time I pay him to help me, we lose money. It's not my goal. It's being with them. God wants to give you something, and it comes. It'll be from him. And it'll be his house. It'll be his plan. It'll be his wisdom. He's the one that's going to touch your life from other people. And if you come with that attitude, you know what? I'm going to sit down. I'm going to talk to a brand new Christian or even somebody that's not even following Jesus yet. And my attitude is, come on, God, this is exciting. What do you want to do in me through them? Come on. I'm telling you, I got blessed. What night was that? Friday night. Their dad's supposed to have a respiratory therapist come and do something. And the whatever dropped the ball on it, and some traveling, you know those traveling nurses now they have, a traveling respiratory therapist, saw that he was supposed to have had his treatment like at 6 o'clock or something, and she saw it at 9 o'clock, and she just was looking at the schedule, and it wasn't even her, we weren't even in her building, we weren't on her schedule, and she saw some man, who she didn't know who he is, that was supposed to have a treatment that fell through the cracks, which happened to be my dad. And I'm there, and I know he's supposed to have a treatment, and I don't like to bother people, but I'm about to call the nurse and say, where is this? It's 9 o'clock, you know? But she comes in. And so she comes in, and she does this breathing thing with dad, and he's out of it. He's not, not really, he's out of it. But we start talking. And then Jesus shows up. And then I have tears on my eyes, and she has tears on her eyes, and she has hope. You know what I did? I told her some of our stories because she had sort of needed to hear them. And I'm like, isn't that crazy? I got blessed by some stranger who wasn't even supposed to be in there. And she didn't work there. She was a traveling respiratory therapist. And I'm like, isn't that cool? God wants to use you on Wednesday nights. Family night is about me experiencing the power of God through you and you experiencing the power of God through me. And the children are going to have amazing. They're so easy. They're so easy to lead children. Us, we're not so easy. So he had a guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples. And he'll show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Jesus has spent your whole life getting you to this place. And he has a plan for you. It's not over. It's just beginning. He's got a room he's already got ready for you. And you don't have to earn it. All you have to do is say yes. So we're doing a big thing this week. And you know, it's funny, and you can read, if you read all the scriptures on the communion, community, You know what communion is? If you go down and you, let me go to that verse. I'm going to skip some verses. We'll go back to that one. That's a good one. Verse 19. He took the bread and he gave thanks. And he broke it. And he gave it to them. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he said, he took the cup. This cup is a new covenant. My blood, which is poured out for you. And the communion, where every time you eat, it's funny, as we study this, we don't look at that. Every time you eat, he wants us to remember him. Now, a lot of us made it a religious tradition to pray before every meal or something. And that's not that that's bad. It's wonderful. But what he wants you to remember is he is in you, that you're his favorite place to be on earth, that you're not alone, that God is in you the same way he was in Jesus, the man. And every time we eat, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. You're one. Every time I eat the cookie, I want to remember I'm not alone today. When it's dark, I'm not alone. When I'm hurting, I'm not alone. When I don't know how to do something, when I don't understand, I'm not alone. And every time you eat, you remember that. And when you remember that, something happens inside of you. And it's a bread that'll never go away. That's why Jesus could make that crazy statement, I'm the bread of life. Come to me, you'll never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. That's our Jesus. So I'm excited about family night. I know it's a huge change. But I just want you to know, it's just like what happened with Jesus when he instituted the Lord's Supper. It's about community. And family night's not about, we'll learn, we'll disciple, we'll have fun. But there's something much deeper happening. And that's what Jesus knows. Guys, y'all need to know that when you eat my flesh, when you drink my blood, me and you become one. I abide in you. And I'm abiding in the Father, and the Father's abiding in me. And now the very purpose Jesus came to earth was to be with you. So this morning, I want you to just like remember those first steps you've taken so many times. This is another step. I'm coming to family night by faith because I believe God's going to show up and in you and in me. So I'm going to invite my friends, just like Jessica's done all these years. She keeps bringing people here. Well, that's your crazy woman, Jessica. I wanted to make her stand up here so y'all could look at her, but I didn't. I'm nice to you, Jessica. So this morning, let's stand up. I think that the whole day has really pointed towards this. That y'all come on up, Rick. Y'all going to pray for people? One, reach up and grab his hand. That's what you do. When you're going to fall, what do? You grab somebody's hand. When you have something to lift, you can't lift, what do? You get your friend to help you grab, pick it up. That's God's design. You don't have to be a lone ranger. I didn't have to go through this week by myself. I had a lot of friends. But then at the bottom line today, I knew. I said, God, I need this community. And so I come, and Tommy and I laugh, and I make fun of him, and it helps my heart. Right? You guys help my heart. Well, you're good at that. And we're going to keep going. There's a lot of people in Cabot in this area that need help in their heart. Not necessarily money, not knowledge. They need something inside. There's a lot of children that need to hear what we're going to teach them and give them in Prayground. We believe in them. And they need to know that. So guys, you make a big difference. Every one of us is a part. Maybe you're a Gentile slave. Guess who got to participate in the resurrection, crucifixion, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? A Gentile slave played a big part. So this morning, if you need help, if you're just wanting to make another, this is a new day for you. I want to commit my life to God. I want to take another step in my walk with Him. This would be a good day to do it. These guys want to pray with you. We have the A team over here on my right, Rick and Jessica Halter, and we have Harvey and Gary, the B team on my left, and they'd love to pray with you. They'll help you grab His hand, okay? So Jesus, we just give this day to You. We give our minds, our thoughts. And God, we trust You with the preparation for family night, for this journey that we're on, God, that You're going to do miracles. Left and right, we can trust You. You're a good grandpa. So Jesus, would You speak to each one of us in this room right now? What do You want us to do? What do You want us to know today? How do You want me to respond? Okay. So obey the Lord, whatever He's put in your heart. We need some more flesh, some more skin, humans, people, to help with the Wednesday night in different ways. Especially, we're very picky about Prayground and the people that will help with that. But it's really going to be good. So if you really would like to have a burden and want to help with the kids, and you're not an axe murderer, talk to me after the service, and we'll see if you're a good fit. How about that? Okay. God bless you guys. Thank you.